you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. We're at liveparanormal.com and we are syndicated all over the world, iHeartRadio.com, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, Podbean, Podomatic, you name it. You can find Live Paranormal there. This is Raising the Vibration, and I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister, and I'm the founder of RaisingTheVibration.org, this show, of course, an outreach of that movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity that I founded in 2016. To carry on my mom's teachings, both spiritual and humane. And here we are this many years later, now this year starting on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. So excited to be here. So excited to be doing this show every week. The show's at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com, and again, the movement at RaisingTheVibration.org, and me at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. Every week on the show, I gather folks that I believe are the brightest and most beautiful minds and hearts and souls in both the spiritual community and also in the community of give back, of passion, of service. We ask on this show every week, what are you doing to make the world a better place? And I know some people listening to this right now will say, well, me? Well, I'm nobody. What can I do? Spirit has designed a specific purpose for each of us. And part of that purpose is our service, is our give back, is what we are giving back to the world, you know? We are getting things from the world, and we are giving back to the world. And that is the cycle of energy that flows through all of us during our human existence, this incarnation, during this semester of soul school, as I like to call it. And you are no exception. So I ask you again, what are you doing to make the world a better place? My guest today is no exception to that, and I think certainly knows what it is he is doing to make the world a better place. He is a very gifted spiritual person, a wonderful reverend, the head of the Spanish-speaking ministry at my church, Founders Metropolitan Community Church in Hollywood. He is also very gifted, has some spiritual gifts I'm sure he'll talk about today, as he did when he did my Haunted Playground show here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network a few months ago. He's also a wonderful person and understands what it's like to be a being on the earth with many, many beings, and what is your give back and what is your service to make the world a better place. I'm just waiting for him to dial in, and then I will get him on the air. He will be here any second. I was having a little technical thing trying to log on from my phone earlier, and I think he was waiting on me to call in. So he is Reverend Alejandro Escoto, and he's just a fantastic guy. And, you know, Founders is the first church I've ever been pastored at. I'm a baby minister, and he was one of the wonderful people, along with our senior pastor, Reverend Keith Mazingo, and my dear friend Steve Peters, all of whom have been on this show, Reverend Steve Peters, who really kind of helped to pull me kind of up by my bootstraps and make me feel welcome and happy where I was. So this is the first time I've ever not had a guest ready to go when it was time to be ready to go. So I'm thinking maybe he's having a technical problem. Oh, there he is. No, we're good. Reverend Alejandro Escoto.
Yes.
Joins us
hello.
Now. Hello, my friend. How are you? Wonderful.
I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm sorry?
It's great to hear from you. I said it's great to hear from you, and it's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you.
So
thank you. The blessing is mine.
Thank you, my friend. And you certainly are not unfamiliar to this concept, but when you hear the word raising the vibration, what does that mean to you? Where does that hit you in your being, and what does that inspire you to do?
It really it really inspires me to be aware, to be conscious, or as they say nowadays, to be mindful of how we are connecting with others so that we can be connecting with the universe, with the earth, with all life, regardless of how it presents itself, regardless of where it's at. Raising the vibration is really a way to teach us to take note of whether or not we are helping the world to rise up and answer the call to betterment.
Yeah, I agree. And the betterment of us, right? Alejandro, the betterment
exactly.
of each of us
exactly.
makes the whole world better.
Yes, humanity has done a pretty good job of creating wonderful things, but has also done a pretty good job of destroying what has been created. And if we become mindful of the responsibility that we have, raising the vibration truly is raising the bar. It really is being more aware today than yesterday and more aware tomorrow than today.
Yes, absolutely. That's so true. You know, I teach a workshop called You Are Your Own Best Friend, and it's a self-love workshop.
Yes.
And I talk a lot in that workshop about how self-love is not selfish. Self-love is actually the opposite of selfish. And that really plays into the idea of individual versus global vibration, right? Because if I hate myself, if I'm not treating myself well, if I'm not, in essence, lifting up my own vibration, then I am actually holding up the ascension of the global vibration because I'm not lifting my own. So by
exactly.
loving ourselves, by feeding into ourselves, by taking care of ourselves, by treating
exactly.
ourselves as if we are our own best friend, we're actually helping everybody else.
Exactly. I am reminded, you know, as a Christian pastor, I'm reminded of the second greatest commandment, which is love your neighbor, love your sister, love your brother as you love yourself. And for many years, I've been asking the question, well, what happens, what are the consequences if the love you have for yourself is based on conditions? How is that going to reflect in how you love your sister, your brother, your neighbor? What if those conditions are based on a path that reflects pain or sorrow or anger? How is that going to reflect on our sisters and brothers? Raising the vibration really is, as you just said, self-love. Not that egotistical, narcissistic love, but that self-love,
right.
which really does focus on compassion, focus on unity, on healing, on acceptance of things to come. Imagine what could happen if people had a spirit of acceptance instead of trying to defy or deny what is happening. If we, as they say, go with the flow, you know, that then we allow ourselves to be more open-minded so that things can happen organically. And most oftentimes, people who try to be in control try to stop this growth. And that's where the challenge in raising the vibration, I believe, comes into play.
Right, exactly. I mean, I think we're kind of born perfect. It's interesting because I have a new kitten, and he's my sixth rescue now. But I've had him since he was 3 days old. So really all he knows is me. And the others I got at 5, 6 months, three of them, and then two of them at over a year. So he only knows me. He only knows the love that has been poured into him from me and my girlfriend and her kids. He doesn't know pain he was abandoned and almost euthanized, but he was so little he doesn't remember that. The difference in him and the other cats with the less amount of trauma he has been through, it's
yes.
unbelievable. And it's really confirmed what I've always believed, Alex, which is that we're all born perfect, and then the
yes.
world kind of screws us up. And,
exactly.
and getting back to happiness is really getting ourselves back to that place where we are perfect again, right? Getting us, undoing what's been done to us by the world. And I think that's, you know, one of the most important things that we learn.
Exactly. I'm just raising the vibration for self really is reflecting on the lessons of the past. You know, I've often heard, and I've heard you say it, you know, I have preached it. Reverend Keith, the senior pastor of Founders Metropolitan Community Church, has said it, that we are not our pain. We are not our past. And so how can we raise the vibration to a point where we have the clarity to see that in forgiving the past, in forgiving the pain, we can let what we do not need go so that we can make room for that which we need. And that
right.
that allows us to be lifted up. You know, not that, not to be lifted up to be over other people, but to raise ourselves up so that we can raise others up by our own example.
Right. Yes, exactly. That's right. Yeah. And also because, you know, we all play into the global vibration, right? I mean, we all have our individual vibrations, and those belong to us. But the global vibration belongs to everybody. And, you know, you could be a carrot, but once you're in the soup, you're part of the soup. And,
right.
We can't think just of ourselves, because
right.
what we do now affects the whole. And that's very important to remember that. That we have a bigger responsibility than just us. We also play into the everything because, you know, as the chain is only as strong as its weakest link, right? So the global vibration
definitely.
Is only as strong as the person who's not lifting their vibration. And we
mm-hmm.
all kind of sometimes get pulled down to their place, and we have
yeah.
to pull them up. But there's only
yeah.
so much of pulling up of others you can do. A lot of it
exactly.
is others really have to do for themselves, you know?
Exactly, exactly. You know, and 12-step groups, they teach you that you cannot give what you yourself do not have. And so it becomes
yes.
incumbent on each of us to empower ourselves so that we can empower others. And that's why I believe there is such power in the vibration that we raise when we meditate on a global level, when we pray on a global level, when we actively charge our chakras so that we can be aligned on a global level. If the whole world can pray, can meditate, can just think for a moment about what it would be like to live in harmony and peace and healing and hope, that energy alone has the potential to really, I believe, to bring peace and to minimize chaos. Now, we know that chaos is necessary. You know, chaos is a part of, you know, nature and the natural universe. But that chaos that we oftentimes cause by selfishness can come to an end. And when we raise that vibration by mutually being in harmony with one another, incredible things can happen. Incredible healing can happen. Incredible hope can happen. COVID can come to an end. Truly, I truly believe that. COVID can come to an end when humanity is united in raising the vibration as one. And that's where the challenge is, because people stand out and say, no, I refuse not to bring an end to this, right? And it's always difficult, but not impossible.
Yes, absolutely. Everything is difficult, but not impossible. I mean, that's an important thing for us to remember, that that nothing is impossible. That is such
yes.
an important thing to know and to remember. There's always hope. There's always, I mean, I always say this, right, that I'm one of those people that believes in world peace. I believe it's
mm-hmm.
possible. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. I think the idea of
exactly.
world peace is probable and possible and absolutely within the realm of something that we as Earthlings can achieve at some point in our future.
Exactly.
We are, you know,
if
but
people
it's,
want
it's,
to,
they talk
need
about,
to desire it.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it's what we talk about in the New Age community, right, about a limited consciousness. You can't have
mm-hmm.
a limited consciousness. You can't believe that your existence is boxed in, right? That there is
exactly.
I can have anything I want in the world as long as it's not these 5,000 things, but I can have this, or maybe I'll be allowed to have this. I mean, there nothing good ever came. All the things that humans want, right? Prosperity, love, happiness,
mm-hmm.
healthiness. None of these things are possible if you live in a limited consciousness.
Exactly.
And the belief that nothing will ever change, COVID will never go away, that's a limited consciousness.
Exactly, exactly. And people underestimate how blessed they can be when they allow their divine eternal self to truly manifest the goodness that this universe has for them. And oftentimes, people are blind to the blessings received because it's probably not big enough for them. And every blessing, however small or however big, has the potential to change someone's life. And that in that eternal state of gratitude, which really does make the world a better place, is what fuels, I believe, that eternal self in every human being. By simply saying, thinking, and believing thank you makes a huge difference in someone's life. I had challenged a few people some weeks ago when I asked them to be grateful for what they have. And they were grateful for, like, the obvious things, you know, for the children, for the cars, for the house. But then I told them, all right, well, why don't you focus on the things that you're taking for granted? And they looked at me like, well, how rude. How rude of me to, you know, even imply that. And then I asked them, be thankful for the cup that you pour your coffee in. Be thankful that you have running water and the water is warm. Be thankful that you're able to heat food up. Be thankful for, and they began to understand that even those things that we take for granted, when we begin to say thank you, the world begins to shift because the world that surrounds us, there are very minute things that people forget to say thank you for. And when we do,
yeah.
Everything begins to change.
Yes, that's absolutely true. We can't say thank you enough, I believe. And I also believe we
yes.
can't say I love you enough. I've had in my life
yes.
people criticize me because I say I love you so much. And, you know, I think I always say that, you know, empaths always ask, what did I do? And narcissists always ask, what did you do? So I think when people who are filled with darkness criticize us for our light. In the beginning,
yes.
as empaths, we apologize for us, right? We apologize
yes.
for us.
Yes.
And
yes.
then we realize, why am I apologizing for myself? Why am I,
mm-hmm.
do you know what I mean? Why am I acting like I have to apologize for saying I love you to people? And that's anyone's business, how often you say I love you, or how often you say thank you. Or how often you say
right.
please. Or I think people
yeah.
who have trouble with those terms have a darkness inside of me to work through. Because
mm-hmm.
a normal person loves to hear I love you, loves to hear thank you, loves to hear hello, loves to hear please. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, that reminds me of Marianne Williamson's we fear our own light. You know, that sometimes we're so afraid to shine so bright that perhaps we may blind people, that we may be misunderstood. I completely understand where you're coming from because I tell people I love them all the time. You know,
yeah.
I'm a lovey-dovey, huggy kind of person, you know, and people are not used to that. People are not used to people smiling, even in adversity. You know, when my brother was in the hospital and he was dying because of COVID, yes, I was sad, but I also smiled because I knew that this was a process that, for one, I could not change, but two, you know, life and death, they're both blessings. They're both blessings. You come into this world, but you also leave the world into, as a Christian belief, into someplace greater. And
right.
Some people understood
Many
me
believe.
And
right.
did not.
Yeah, it's interesting how some people, it took me a long time to realize that there were some people that I couldn't figure out why they didn't like me, and I just didn't know what I did
right.
wrong. And again, as an empath, we don't know what we did wrong, right?
Yes.
And then I realized that it was just that some people just were very resentful of my joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people see a joyful person and they think, oh, well, they've never had any problems in their life. Like, only I have problems. And if you're so happy, obviously you haven't suffered like me. The truth
yes,
is, joyful
yes.
people sometimes have suffered more than anyone. It's
yes,
just that
yes,
we don't
exactly.
allow the adversity to ruin our day or to ruin anyone else's, because we understand that it's like that the Japanese proverb, right, Alex? Fall down 7 times, rise up 8.
And rise up 8 times.
People that are
right.
filled with joy, we just keep rising no matter what. We just
mm-hmm.
keep coming back. And
yes,
I think there are folks that
problem.
Are very – right. I think there are folks that are very resentful of that, because I think that many people – use their adversity as an excuse to not have to do things with their life, to not have
yeah.
to be polite, not have to say I love you, not have
mm-hmm.
to give back, not to just
mm-hmm.
live a very selfish, narcissistic existence. And the excuse is, well, you know, I was married to a bad person, or I had an illness when I was little, or I had a parent who was a narcissist, therefore, you know, I have an excuse to not be nice to people. Well, the truth is, I had a narcissistic parent. I was not married, but in a long-term relationship with an asshole. And I also had a lot of illness as a child. But I'm not blaming
yeah.
that on other people, nor am I allowing it to stop my joy. And I think
exactly.
sometimes people look for excuses to not have to be happy. And that is
exactly.
one of them. Oh, look at my pain
yep.
and suffering. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
mean I don't acknowledge people's pain and suffering or my own. But
right.
you cannot
right.
allow the past to ruin the future and the present.
Exactly.
You know?
It's so easy to self-sabotage yourself by
yes.
always looking back and say, this person or that person is at fault for what I am living. And there comes a time where we have to acknowledge that each of us has a key to the chain that we have locked ourselves in, that in the box that we are in, you know, we have, you know, this little slicer that we can just cut ourselves out. And, you know, growing up, you know, what you said resonated with me just a few moments ago, that because of the life that I've had, which was very difficult, very challenging, I can appreciate the life that I have now, and I can smile even when things are not going well. It doesn't mean that I'm not bothered, or I'm not sad, or I'm not angry, but I put everything into perspective. And as a human person, yes, I go through my emotions, but ultimately in my divine connection, when I raise my vibration, I look at life with a different set of eyes. And I allow myself to use that perspective to journey through and journey forward rather than staying in the same place. And when people begin to learn that, an incredible healing can happen. You know, they no longer remain stuck in their sadness and their woes and their agony. And they no longer
yeah.
have to repeat the same, you know, the same track over and over again. They can literally step out of it, you know, and make the change that they're seeking to make.
Absolutely. There is no better healing than to help someone else.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah.
If you really want to heal yourself, help someone. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a wonderful way to do it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, most definitely. You know, I've been talking with a 23-year-old man who broke up. And according to him, his life is over. He can't stop crying. And he tells me, you don't understand what I'm going through. And I tell him, my dear, I am three times your age. I've been in many relationships, one of which was like 22 years. You know, I've gone through it all. So if you're going to tell me that I don't know what you're feeling, I'm sorry. Your 23-year-old self cannot match my 57-year-old self. And so he kind of like sat back and he's like, you're right.
Right, right. But we're taught, culturalized, right, that that's the end.
Yes.
If you get sick or if you, it's the end. If you get sick, if you have a, you break up, if you have anything going, it's the end, it's the end, it's the end. We're so conditioned that everything is the end.
Yes.
And nothing is the end, right? These are
all just
steps in the road.
Exactly. And sometimes what seems to be the end is an open door for a new beginning. And, you know, and even though it may be a new beginning from a sad ending, we can always honor the people who perhaps, you know, gave of themselves so that this new beginning can happen. And we can bless those that came before us. We can honor them so their lives are not in vain. And because they suffered and because they went through trials, we can now learn from them and we can raise the vibration and teach others to live true liberty, to be liberation in practice and not just in theory and definitely not just in words.
Absolutely true. That's absolutely true. I always think of that beautiful John Lennon quote that I love. Everything will be all right in the end. If it's not all right, then it's not the end.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have to remember that. Today is not the rest of our lives. What's happening right now is not the end of our life. There is many, many more years and experiences and people to have in your life. And I understand a heartbreak is difficult. I understand a heartbreak is particularly difficult during COVID.
Yes.
But we have to remember that everything will be all right in the end.
Yeah.
And if it's not all right, then it's not the end, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And everything changes. Perspectives change. People change. Lives change. Everything that surrounds us changes. And when we give ourselves that permission to adjust, you know, to shift as needed. You know, when we're sitting in a chair working, we're always shifting to get comfortable. And that's how we have to live our lives, because we will always encounter situations and circumstances, people, moments, which may make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. And we have to give ourselves permission to shift how we see things, how we see moments, how we see circumstances and people. We have to shift the perspective. We have to shift our viewpoint. We have to allow ourselves to be flexible. And when we don't give ourselves that permission, then we become so stoic and we become so stuck that whatever may happen could truly bother us. And it doesn't have to be that dramatic. I know what it's like to be dramatic because I used to be dramatic. Well, I can still be kind of dramatic. But, you know, we allow ourselves to journey through that. And when things adjust because we allow them to, wonderful healing happens and wonderful understanding happens.
Absolutely, yes. And drama and chaos, I believe, are two clear and intense indicators of darkness.
Yes, yes. And we all go through them. You know, I mean, you cannot tell me that the most mindful leader does not have dark moments. If a person is human, she or he will have dark moments because we have to continue struggling you know, one of my best friends is this incredible life coach, privileged to hear his dark moments. But he's not defined by those dark moments because he knows that he journeys through them. And that's why he's such an effective life coach, because he acknowledges that and he works through it and he overcomes them and he raises his vibration and he teaches others to do the same. Because how are we going to teach others to raise the vibration if we ourselves have not gone through that challenge? Did I lose you?
Did my words scare you?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
There you are. There you are. I thought I lost you. Did you go through that tunnel? Uh-oh. I lost you again. Maybe I should sing. Oh, no. If I sing, I'll drive everybody away. I wait to hear from you. I don't know if anyone can hear you or me, but I'm going to read this from Vox Magazine. It says, quoting Williamson, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate." Williamson writes in A Return to Love, "Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world."
I love that. Can you hear me now?
Oh, now I can hear you.
Okay.
I figured I'm out there just keep talking.
No, I'm so glad you did. I'm ending the show. I think the gods of Bluetooth betrayed me.
Ow.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, it's happening again. The Bluetooth keeps going to the Bluetooth, and it won't stop. So.
I can hear you now. So yes.
In your life, how have you overcome adversity?
I used to look back and recall what I had lived through. I don't
okay.
do that as much now unless I'm speaking to someone for that example would help them. Like when I was younger and I went through addiction and all that good stuff. But the way now that I go through adversity, I'm going to use my brother, for example, which is a very recent example.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you, honey. You know, who was stricken with COVID and then died. You know, he went to the hospital January 20th and then died on March 22nd. And I struggled.
Wow, that was a long time in the hospital. Wow.
It was a long time. And part of the reason was because of his significant other who refused to let go. The way I overcame that was I journaled through Facebook. I would do video blogging, for example, or I would do posts and really express myself. And the reason I was really doing that was to kind of update my family as a whole, because my family is large. But I found that that was helping me, but it was also helping others. And that in facing that adversity, there's incredible power in journaling and incredible power in sharing. And by expressing my voice, other people who had similar losses found a voice through those postings. And there doesn't go a day that I don't meet somebody when my brother comes up, and then they share about their losses. And, you know, COVID changed the way that we mourn. But it doesn't mean that our lives stop. You know, if I'm going to move forward in life and raise my vibration, I'm doing it to honor my brother and do it to honor all of those who lost their lives. And so then that gives more meaning to what I'm doing and to how I'm living my life. You know, and so if what I do can help somebody else and empower someone else, then I'm not going to wallow in my own suffering. On the contrary, I'm using my pain so that someone else can find their power.
Yes. Yes. And that's beautiful, sweetheart. And that's, I think that's what you have
Thank
to do. My mama used to say every bad thing that happened to me made me stronger, but it also made me softer. So she used the adversity, to toughen up, because we all have to thicken our skin here on Earth, but also to become a gentler and kinder and more empathetic person for everything that had happened to her.
Yeah,
and so I learned that just because bad things happen, it doesn't give you an excuse to become cold and heartless.
Mm-hmm.
When bad things happen, you use those bad things to become a gentler person, a more beautiful person, a more loving person. Because that's just the way it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to be, you know, bogged down in hate and unhappiness. And it's not what spirit wants for us. A lot of times my clients will say, like, you know, oh, spirit has damned me to have a horrible life. And spirit loves everybody else but hates me. And it's not like that. Spirit loves all of us. Spirit wants all of us to have the best life possible. We do all those things to ourselves. Now, I'm not saying spirit doesn't throw challenges at us, like your brother getting COVID, right? Spirit does throw challenges at us all the time. But there's a difference in a challenge being thrown at you and God hating you. That's two very different things.
Spirit
wants us to come, learn all our lessons, succeed, and move on to the next level, right? We're not set up to fail.
And that's what
we're only set up
to
be challenged.
You know, we're called to raise our vibration, to raise our consciousness. We are called to be better tomorrow than today. You know, and to learn from, to every moment has a chance to be a learning experience. Even if we think nothing is happening, every moment has a chance to teach us something. And then we in turn have a chance to teach someone else.
That's absolutely true. You know, the four cornerstone words of this show are ascend, evolve, inspire, and love. And I think that's really what we are here on the planet to do, right? To ascend, to learn our lessons so that next time around we come back in fourth grade instead of third grade.
Exactly.
To evolve. To learn and grow, to become more like spirit in our human existence. And then to inspire. What are you, now that you've got it, what are you doing to help other people get theirs? And finally, love, right? How important is love to you in that equation?
Right, exactly. You know, love, you know, love is a many splendid thing. And you never know when the expression of love can really move someone to do the same. And even the person who's been loved the most can always express love in a way that perhaps someone hasn't felt it. I was sharing the other day, I did a funeral for a young trans woman, 29 years old, and she committed suicide. And I had shared about how sometimes we forget the importance of just being there. Just being there. You don't have to say a word. Just be present. And your presence has a healing moment. And oftentimes we've been taught that we have to say something. And a lot of times silence speaks for itself when you're simply there and wishing the best for someone in the spirit of love. And that's what makes the world go round, I believe. That's what changes lives and changes this world.
I agree. You know what I always think about when people have parties and they'll always say, gifts are not necessary. Your presence is my presence.
Yeah.
And it's true, right? Just showing up for somebody is a gift. Just taking time out of your life when you could have 97 other things to do and come to my birthday party. That is a gift.
Right.
Being able to feel your energy and be alongside it, that is a gift.
Right.
We forget that. We're so hung up in this idea that that gifts have to have a monetary value or have to have
exactly
a service value. I mean, everything is a service, but I mean, you know what I mean? If you're not picking up my dry cleaning, you're not helping me out. We forget that you're helping me out simply by being on the earth and being part of my life. And even if we don't see each other that much, I still feel you energetically. I mean, that's what we should think about everyone in our life that we love.
Yes. Oh, yes. I have friends and I have family that I really, you know, don't talk to constantly. And when I do see them, it's as if time never stopped, you know, because that's the connection. And when you're connected with somebody and you see them after, let's say, you know, 6 months or 6 years, and you're able to just, you know, begin the relationship right where it ended 6 years ago, as if nothing ever happened. There was no period. There was a comma. Maybe a semicolon, you know, and so you allow yourself to continue to flow through. And when we allow ourselves to flow, we can let the energy to flow as well. We don't let it flow, and we allow ourselves to grow because of that. And when we grow, other people grow. And when we heal, other people heal. And when we are challenged and we show other people how we can move through it, then they too can meet the same challenges in life. It's all part of this wonderful circle of love.
It absolutely is that. That was beautifully said. I took a pause because that was beautifully said. It absolutely is that. And we can't forget about the circle of love, right, which is much like the circle of ascension.
Yes.
This is not the only life. It's not a finite – our life is not a – our spiritual life is not a finite number of years with a period at the end and then worms at your eyeballs. It is a circle. We come here, we go home. We come back, we go home. We come back, and hopefully every time we're learning our lessons, we're overcoming our obstacles, we're using our gifts and services, and we're ascending. And and it's not just about having gifts. It's about using gifts. It's one thing to have your gifts, and everybody's given gifts, but what are you doing to use those gifts?
Yes.
That is, you know, if you're a doctor, are you really being a healer? If you're a lawyer, are you really being an advocate? If you're a teacher, are you really being a nurturer? I mean, you can be those things and not be the words that I said afterwards.
Right.
But that's
exactly
what spirit wants. That's your service. It's the difference in your job and your service, right?
Yes. Yes. You know, it's often been said, you have to walk the talk. And we know that words have power, definitely. Action has more power, and raising the vibration really is about taking your words and letting the vibration of those words vibrate into movement, so that the very action that we are speaking about, the very action that we are thinking about, the very action that we are hoping about begins to take form, and it begins to move. It begins to shift and it begins to lift and it begins to, you know, part seas. It begins to grow trees. It begins to clear the air. It begins to bring smiles and it dries tears. And it allows people to be nurtured in ways that they didn't think they could ever be nurtured, because the power of words, when they turn into action, nurture the human spirit in a way that a word, when spoken, can never do. Because once you speak a word and give it to somebody, and they're empowered to put it into some form of action, that energy cannot be stopped. And that's what raising the vibration is all about, letting the energy go and not letting it stop so it can affect and inspire and motivate and lift and heal others around you, perhaps even others on the other side of the world.
Absolutely. Yes. Why stop with yes? It should be everything that you do. Well, I mean, everything that you do that is part of your gifts and services should be healing you and healing everyone else at the same time.
Yes.
And I think we are taught in this human existence, Alejandro, that there has to be a difference, right? Either it's for you or it's for somebody else. Well, no, it's for you and it's for everybody else.
Yeah,
it is a gift for you, and it's also a gift for everybody else, because that's how it works.
Yes.
You know,
someone is bound to learn.
I had a friend who was a healer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I had a friend that was a healer that used to say, when you give a healing, you get a healing. I've always loved that, because it's so true. When I do an energetic cleanse or healing on somebody, I feel healed afterwards.
Yeah.
It's a... When you heal somebody else, you get healed back. And that's part of that whole circle that you're talking about, right? It's the energetic circle of the everything.
Exactly. You know,
it's important.
Yes, if ever there was a time when you feel that you have to perhaps pray for somebody, or you're driving and you see someone at the corner and you feel like you want to send them good thoughts, or you feel like you want to tell somebody that you love them, you know, when you feel that intuition speaking to you, do it. You know, I once said in a sermon, you know, I challenged people and I said, I want you to go out when you're in the market, when you're walking, wherever you're at, tell everyone that you meet that you love them. And I got funny looking faces, right? They're like, well, how am I going to tell everybody that I love them? I'm probably going to get sucked in the eye.
I'm sure.
Right? And then I told them, you don't have to say it with words. Say it with your mind. Radiate it with your energy. And people were like, oh. And guess what happened? They took that challenge out to the streets. And the next Sunday, people reported, oh, my gosh. People were smiling. They didn't know why. Because the energy around them was changing by the simple thought of thinking, I love you.
It's so beautiful. It's so gorgeous. And it's true.
Thank you.
Yeah. And anybody who has a problem with that, those people are not your people.
Exactly.
You know? So what are things that you're still, what are challenges for you? What are things you're still working on, my friend?
Well, I'm working on trying not to be so tired when life is very demanding, you know, with the whole COVID thing.
Yes.
You know, I will be moving soon. You know, I've been in my condo for about 2.5 years, going on 3 years, but I'll be moving because my brother lived in my mom's house. And so, you know, his significant other and her family, they moved out to go back to Tucson, Arizona. So the house is empty. So I'm moving, and so the thought of moving is like, oh, my gosh. But then I reframe that. I readjust myself to remind myself that moving there is a blessing. And so, yes, moving is exhausting. However, it's part of the journey. And in moving, not only will I learn something new, I'll also be able to let go of stuff that I don't need. And
absolutely.
You know, and you know, and so I'm also learning, you know, to help people understand as they come back to church, you know, that vaccinated, unvaccinated, and the importance of, you know, being mindful of taking care of each other, you know, you know, at the church we're kind of struggling because, you know, we want to be able to teach people to do the right thing. But then again, you know, there are people who still stand by that they're not going to get vaccinated. And so on one hand, we need to honor that. But on another hand, we also want to teach a different message. And so that becomes challenging. you know. And
I agree.
And, you know, so, you know, it's I'm a human person, you know. I have my limitations, but I also realize that when I feel limited, to find out where is that coming from and why am I getting frustrated, and then to allow that frustration to take a back seat so that I can learn how to move forward and push past those limits.
Yes, very important. Yeah, I mean, I think during this time of COVID, and I always say I'm not going to talk about COVID, and every show we want to talk about COVID every single week.
Yes.
It's important that we be gentle with each other because we're all going through different experiences, you know. Many people are very fearful to get it. Many people like myself have had it and fear it's never going to go away.
Yes.
It is scary when you have not had it. I lost two friends. Well, one friend this week died. You know, two friends in the last 2 weeks, and another friend is very sick. It's scary when you haven't had it to see these stories of people dying. People also don't understand when you have had it, it's terrifying to see people. The two friends I lost this week were long haulers. They did not just have COVID. They died from the effects of what COVID did to them 6 months, a year later. So it's a scary thing no matter how you slice it, and we need to be gentle with each other.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, and that's
and
one thing
just,
that I learned,
Not just
you know,
make blanket judgments of people, you know?
Exactly, exactly, yes. Yes, and we when we support each other and when we try to seek to understand each other, then it's so much easier to journey through in harmony, to journey through as a family, as a human family. And someone could be walking way ahead of you. Someone could be walking way behind you. Someone could be walking far on each side of you. But as long as we're aware that we're walking and that we are in good company, then we can at least be mindful that we are connected, and we can support each other through that.
Yes, absolutely. That's absolutely true. It's just being mindful of each other. It's interesting because we got my little guy because we fostered a litter of cats, and he was one of them. And my girlfriend's gotten very involved in cat fostering, so this weekend she babysat for a foster mom who had to go away for the weekend, and we had three little one-month-olds for 4 days. And when the lady is a teacher and a former school principal, teacher, college professor, all education, when she came to pick them up, she was talking about how she's a special education teacher, how they now have mindfulness classes in the school where you kind of teach kids to be mindful. And I thought that was the most amazing, beautiful thing because God knows when we were brought up in public school, I don't know if you went to public school, but I was in public school, there was no mindfulness.
None.
But it's important
it was
that
fend for yourself.
Right, exactly. It was get through it and try not to fail or die.
Exactly. I ran away from my bullies.
Exactly. Me too. Yeah. Me too. I did a play in high school, and one of my friends got cast opposite this woman who, unbeknownst to all of us until then, had been his bully in elementary school. And he was, like, markedly freaked out that he had to be on stage with this woman because she had been so awful to him as a child.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of stuff stays with you, you know?
Yeah.
A few years ago confronted some bullies from high school, and I would never have told you that was a problem, but leaning up to go meet up with those women again, I was shaking in my boots. So, you know, it's hard to deal with problems you encounter in school, and even harder when they're happening and you're just a tiny person. It's very important that we give kids mindfulness and that we teach adults that didn't get it in school because we're too old mindfulness. Everybody should take a course or a book or a YouTube tutorial on mindfulness because it just makes you be aware of what's going on outside of your own self. Because a lot of people, Alex, right, are just wearing the me cam on their forehead, and they're only thinking about their perspective on life.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly
not how Spirit wants us to live. Spirit wants us to think about the world as a whole, that everybody's feelings, How is this mm-hmm. affecting everyone? How is, you know what I mean?
Right, right, exactly. You know, and when people begin to be aware, you know, I was talking with a friend of mine and who was struggling, and it didn't matter what I told this person. My friend was always like, no, that's wrong. No, that's wrong. You know, because it's often easier when you're outside, you know, looking in to see what's wrong or what has to be changed. And so,
yeah,
you know, this friend was just rejecting everything that I was saying. And I was kind of getting frustrated. And so I finally said, all right, you cannot tell an alcoholic because he's an alcoholic because he'll tell you he's not. You can't tell a drug
right.
addict that she's a drug addict because she'll tell you she's not. You can't tell
right.
an abuser, you know, that they are an abuser because they'll tell you that they're not. You know?
Yeah.
And the person looked at me and they're like, what are you trying to say? I'm not an alcoholic. I don't do drugs. And I'm like, Lord have mercy. Kind of help me here, right?
Yeah.
You know? And
I
then
know.
I told the person, just think.
No one does
think
drugs.
For a moment. Yeah, right? You know, I was like, just think
the
about
first
it.
Story, it's like
and the person
club.
Began to think.
The first story of
yeah.
drugs is, no one does drugs.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and so it was weeks, literally weeks, before this person finally began to have a glimpse of understanding. You know, and,
yeah.
And sometimes, you know, in this beautiful world that we live in, this beautiful, chaotic, you know, world that we live in, we expect people to move on our time, to move.
Yeah.
And, you know, according to our beat, you know, to change like we change and to understand like we understand, and that's not the case. You know, mindfulness at its best happens when we allow someone to understand. You will heal when you're able to, but just be mindful the healing is happening because the smallest step has to be celebrated. And,
yeah.
and we live in a world where we only celebrate the huge jumps.
Yes, very true. And on that beautiful note, sweetheart, we are out of time. Where can people find you online, my friend?
They can find me at foundersmcc.org. They can also find me at Rev Alejandro Escoto on Facebook and Founders Metropolitan Community Church on Facebook and Iglesia Fundadora de la Comunidad Metropolitana Los Angeles. For those who are bilingual, the Spanish language Facebook page for the church.
I love that, my friend. Thank you so much for being here. Such a joy and an
Thank
honor
you.
To
the blessing was mine. Thank
have you,
you
on the show. It's you come back and do this again and again with me, darling. You are just wonderful.
Most definitely.
And I will talk
I'll
to you.
I'll be ready.
I
love
it.
You.
The Reverend Alejandro Escoto, everybody. He's so wonderful. Love you, my friend. If you missed those links, please go to SheenaMetalSpiritual.com for all your psychic and spiritual needs. Learn more about me, RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com for the show, Live Paranormal for the Live Paranormal Radio Network. I'll see you next Wednesday at 6 o'clock Pacific Time, Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific Time for this show, Wednesday at 6 o'clock Pacific Time for my Haunted Playground show. And, of course, I do 3 shows for Live Paranormal's video channel, 9 o'clock Pacific Time on weeknights. Please check those out as well. I will be there tonight at 9 o'clock doing my I Am Raising Your Vibration, the campaign to this. Till I see you next time, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, and always, always raise your vibration. I'm Sheena Metal. I love you all. See you next time.